Revelation 21. Could you turn there, please? Revelation 21, and the same text we had last week, verses 1 through the first sentence in verse 5. Revelation 21, verses 1 through the first sentence in verse 5. Excuse me, could you stand, please, as I read these verses in your hearing? And then we'll ask God's blessing on our time together. Revelation 21 and verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God." Verse 4. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Amen. Father, we bow together now and humbly confess that we need your help. This word lays open before our eyes, and our hearts lay open before your eyes. And now, Lord, would you do the work in your word and through your word in our hearts for your glory and for our good? We ask it in Jesus' great name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Let's connect the dots just a little bit. Today. Now, you remember our subject is I make all things new, right? I make all things new. And last week, we saw that heaven and earth were both corrupted by sin, right? Normally, we only think of earth as being corrupted by sin because we know what happened in the garden. But heaven was also corrupted by sin. Right? Revelation 12 tells us that there was war in heaven. Satan had found himself arrogant and proud and said, I want my throne to be higher than God's, right? And we saw this war going on and eventually Satan being thrown out. And so heaven was corrupted too. And so both heaven and earth need to be what? Purged. This word pass away, we saw that last week, and I told you there are two fundamentally convincing arguments as to what pass away means. Some theologians firmly believe that the heaven, the old heaven and the old earth, or if you will, the present heaven and the present earth, will literally be annihilated, okay? And they have arguments for that. However, I believe that there's more convincing justification that this passing away is not God annihilating the present heaven and the present earth, but purging it. Right? Remember, as we saw in Genesis, God said he destroyed the world once with what? Water. But the world wasn't annihilated, was it? Even though God said he destroyed it. And we saw that it's going to be destroyed again by fire. And so I believe that there's a reason for us to believe that God isn't going to actually annihilate what he has created. Okay, just as he purged it once, I believe he's going to purge it again. We saw that passing away applies to every believer. Right? If anyone is in Christ, he's what? Is that right? New creation. What? All things have what? Passed away, but you weren't annihilated. Right? Behold, the new has come. Is that right? So I won't take you back through all those arguments, but I do think Romans 8, 20 and 21 is a very convincing argument, if you will, because there it says that the whole creation is waiting for our resurrection. The whole creation is waiting for that great day when Jesus will part the sky and that great voice will come and the dead in Christ will rise first and we are alive and be caught up to meet him. It says that the creation is waiting because in that day, creation that is presently cursed will be set free, not annihilated. Okay? So, I believe that passing away means that God is going to cleanse the earth. And then we saw that the new heaven and the new earth will be cleansed and perfectly holy. You remember those verses we looked at there? Revelation 20 talks about the various kinds of sin and sinners that won't be present in the new heaven or the new earth, right? Revelation 20, 13 through 15, and then finally Revelation 20, 1. And 8. Verse 1 ends by saying there is no more sea. Okay? Remember I told you that last week? The sea represents what? Separation. It represents turbulence. The sea is actually a graveyard. Okay? There are many, many people who have died, what? At sea. And so there will be no place, no purpose for the sea in the new heaven and the new earth. Right? So just keep that in mind that These images that we have communicate real truth to us. And then finally last week we saw that the new heaven and the new earth is a place of purity and peace. We're waiting for a Savior from heaven to come to this earth in which righteousness dwells. Today, we'll see how much we can cover, but I want to. You remember this is the outline that we're looking at. In verses 1 and 2, we are looking at what John saw. Right? John said, I saw these amazing truths. Now, you remember, prophetic literature is about images, right? Images and pictures. And you and I have to interpret what those images and pictures mean. And so we see we then are taking a look at what he saw in verses 1 and 2. In verse 3, John said, I heard. He heard this great voice. And so when we get to verse 3, we're going to try to understand what it is he heard. And then finally, verses 4 and 5, we're going to talk about what God did. All right? The first thing that John saw in verse 1 was a new heaven and a new earth. And we covered that last week. Today, we want to look at what he saw in verse 2. Can you look at verse 2? And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So that's what the Bible say? So, let's think about this. This holy city. The holy city. Now, first of all, this verse makes it clear that the holy city is New Jerusalem. Look at your Bible. What does it say? And I saw the holy city, what? New Jerusalem. And so this holy city is, get this now, New Jerusalem, right? New Jerusalem, which means it has some relation or correlation with what? Old Jerusalem. You getting it? And so Old Jerusalem, then I need to think about what happened at Old Jerusalem. Old Jerusalem was, just like the earth, what? Corrupted. God didn't corrupt it. God made all things what? Good and what? Very good. But old Jerusalem was corrupted. And even so, Jesus still came where? To old Jerusalem. Old Jerusalem was the place of redemption. In that awful, messy situation, God still came to redeem sinners like you and me. In what? Old Jerusalem. But you remember, near the end of Christ's life, you remember what it said? He stood and what? Looked over Jerusalem. Y'all remember that? Near the end of Matthew's gospel, and he said, "Jerusalem, O Jerusalem." Remember that? He lamented over Jerusalem. How I would have come to you as a hen would cover her chicks, but you would not. Remember that? And the Bible says he walked away. And as he was walking away, he pointed to that elegant temple that they have just so reveled in all those years. And he said, you see that temple? Not one stone will be left on top of another. It's going to be torn down, That's old Jerusalem. Yeah. But this verse, this verse is talking about what? New Jerusalem. And so you and I then are finding real hope here. And you've got to follow me now. The New Jerusalem then is also, you and I learn that New Jerusalem is spiritual. Look at the verse. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, doing what? Coming down out of heaven from God. It's spiritual. This is not a city with brick and mortar. Right? This is not earthly materials that are being made. God wants us to realize that these images are to communicate truth to us, right? It's coming down, what? Out of heaven from God. So this new Jerusalem is both spiritual and what? It's holy because it's coming from who? God who is holy, right? It's coming down from God. Now, you track this. Y'all remember what we learned this morning? Revelation is what? Progressive. And so you have to go with, let it build. Build, okay? Don't rush. I know you're in a hurry. Folks, when we talk about heaven, people in a hurry, they want to know about heaven. Take your time. You realize we're gonna spend the rest of eternity learning and understanding what the new heaven and the new earth and just reveling in it. You know how long eternity is? Think of that. Forever. So how can we're not going to learn it all in an hour or two or five or ten, right? So be patient. Let's work our way through it. We're just going to take a few more minutes here and try to understand this. Now I want you to notice that the New Jerusalem is filled with God's people who are ready for an eternal relationship with Christ. You say, well, Brother Willie, where you get that from? You looking at the verse? Look at the last phrase in verse 2. He said, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride, what? Adorned for her husband. Now, you know a building can't marry Christ. You following this? So this holy city, this new Jerusalem has nothing to do with physical materials. But it's filled with God's people. Because who's going to marry Christ? Okay? This is an image and a picture of God's people. And, I love this phrase here. Are you looking at the, look at the verse again. Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. You and I have been made ready. Right? I was so lost, I couldn't find myself. I was such a slave to sin. Even times I said I was going to quit, I just lied to myself. Over and over and over again, back into the same trap, the same slavery. It's like I had amnesia. One weekend, it take hold of me. I'll never do it again. And what did I do? Over and over and over again until Christ came, what? And set me free. Right? Set me free. He made me ready for heaven. I didn't do it. I didn't choose Jesus. He chose me. He wasn't lost. I was lost. The Bible says that Jesus came to what? Seek and what? Save the lost. And so he found me. And there I was. Dead, really? Dead in trespasses and sin. He came and found me. And this is so wonderful. And now the Bible says he has made us ready. You're right. We've been prepared as a bride for her husband. Now, this is so good. This is so good. You got to follow this now. We are the holy city and New Jerusalem. And Christ has made us ready. He has made us ready to live with him forever, right? How? Through his life, his death, his burial and resurrection. He has made us holy. We were not holy. We didn't have any holiness. But he gave us. He imputed. He took. We were bankrupt. when it comes to holiness and righteousness. And God said, here, Christ has more than enough. Let me go put Willie here. Here's some holiness and righteousness to put in your account.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to make you qualified for heaven.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is absolutely wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah.
For by grace,
yeah,
what? You've been saved.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nothing that I did.
Yeah.
All of the education, all of the money I made, all of this, and none of it qualified me.
Yeah.
None of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I was just as much a sinner as every other sinner, but then God found me.
Yeah.
The wages of sin is what?
Yeah.
But what? The free gift of God is eternal life. That's how I got in. That's how you got in. And that's how he made us ready. Right? We've been prepared. Are you ready? Ooh. When Christians die. Now I'm talking about real Christians. You see, they're not groping for life. To live what? It's Christ. And what? To die is gain. Christian knows where we're going. Now, I'm not trying to hurry death. You understand that? And I don't believe any man can. Our days are numbered. You won't go any sooner, and you won't stay here any longer. Isn't that good news? Faith. That's the reason we need faith. But when it's time, don't fight it. Are you ready? Yes. We've been made ready. Don't all this theology about you got to get this together. Oh, Christ got us together. Now we need to live. You understand? We need to live right. We need to live holy. But that doesn't get you ready.
Uh-huh.
Christ got you ready.
Yeah.
Now he's saying live like you're ready.
Uh-huh.
You see the difference?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You ready, so live like you are ready.
Yeah.
Isn't this good news?
Yeah.
Ready. Christ has prepared us as a bride. And I don't want to run past this. We're still in good time, all right? But can you turn to Ephesians 5? Christ has made us ready. Ephesians 5, I'm just going to read these three verses. Listen at beginning at verse 25. You got Ephesians 5, 25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ what? Love the church and gave himself up for her. Now look at 26. That he might, what? Sanctify her. That's what Christ did for us. Thank God for that.
Amen.
Ain't no way we could be sanctified if he didn't do it. But he loved us and he gave himself up for us and he has, what? Sanctified us. He lived holy and we get to benefit from his holy life. Ain't no way anybody, any sinner lives good enough to go to heaven. But Christ gives us his perfect right. Oh, he has sanctified us. You getting this? Look at it. Having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church. Now, this is wonderful. To himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be what? Holy and what? Without blemish. How in the world can sinners be holy without blemish? Jesus.
Yeah.
If anyone is what? In Christ? What? No. Not rehab. Not refurbished. What? No. I was dead and now I'm what? That what John Newton say? I was blind, but now I see. And nothing in between.
Yeah.
You either alive or you still what? Dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you're alive, you are ready.
Amen.
No Christian should be afraid to die.
Uh-huh.
That's why we read about the what thing. You see, even in our day, we often talk about what happened in the first century. Look at what's happening in Africa and all of these persecuted Christians are dying every day. Gruesome, awful deaths. And they will not recant. Why? Because they got life now. Real life. Take it all away. You cannot. Nobody can take away this, this great gift that has been given to us, right? Yeah. I give to them what? Eternal life. And no one can snatch them out of my hand. Yeah. Isn't this good news? Yeah. Ready. 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 We've been made ready. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, what's the purpose of this city? I believe that the imagery here is for us to understand that this holy city and new Jerusalem represents God's people. Okay? Can you turn to Revelation 21? Let me get back to Revelation. Revelation 21 makes this really crystal clear. Verses 9, you got Revelation 21, verses 9, 10, and 11 leaves no doubt that this holy city and this new Jerusalem is us. Then came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues, and spoke to me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." That should be no confusion, my brother, my sister, right? The bride is us, right? We are the bride. We are the wife of the Lamb. Christ is the bridegroom. What? We are the bride. There is no confusion there. Now let's go on. "And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain. And look at what he showed me." Now this is the same wife and bride. He showed me what? The holy city, Jerusalem, coming down. Look at that. Coming down out of heaven from God. Does that sound familiar? The same image here. This is God's people having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. Amen. And I just hope I won't keep going on this point. This is so thrilling. I hope you get it. This imagery has been given to you and me to encourage us. This is our future. God has already taken care of it. You don't have to keep striving and struggling and trying to get to heaven. You know this song, 99 and a half won't do, I'm trying to get to heaven, so I get 100, so I get what? You know what I'm talking about. Trying to make 100 so you can get in. What? What is that? What does that mean? All these jokes about St. Peter, what does St. Peter got to do with the door to heaven? He's a sinner just like you and me. He's going to be just as glad to be there as you and I will. He don't have nothing to do with the door of heaven.
That's right.
Right? There's only one person that determines whether you go to heaven or not.
Yeah.
Now, that's good news. Yeah. I'm glad it's not any of us.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, we're going to have some surprises when we get there.
Yeah.
And some folks are going to be surprised to see us. You right? Yeah. That's all right. Because there's only one judge. One master, right? He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the master. He's the maker. He's the one that determines who gets in and who does not. He's the one that's making all these decisions about the ones that are outside and those that are inside. And he has said, "My brother, my sister, I have made you ready." And all we can say is amen. Thank you, Lord. Right? Thank you, Lord. All right. I told Brother Billy I'm inspired. I'm trying to cut these sermons down. All right. So y'all give me about 10 more minutes. All right. We'll try to wrap up. All right. And so that's what John saw. And we're only going to be able to take a brief look now. By the way, that picture of the city represents stability. You know that. A city represents stability. It's permanence when you think about a city, right? And so that's what God wants us to know. You don't have to get concerned about your future home. It's stable. It's fixed. It's not. You don't have to do the, what's the old thing called, a four-leaf clover? It's not that. You don't have to worry about, he loves me. He loves me not. I don't know, you know, all this thing about Oh, did I wonder if I committed? You know, the Jehovah's Witnesses have this whole thing about, I remember when we used to have this study at work, and they come in and talk about all the kind of things that you can do to lose your salvation. Well, you can't lose what you didn't have.
Right.
Wait a minute. So if God says, I give to them eternal life, how? It's either eternal or it's not. And if I give them eternal life, you don't give it and take it back. If you got it, you got it.
Amen.
Right? And so that's what this imagery is designed to show us, is that this is stability. Stop struggling with it. If you're in Christ, your future is secure. Isn't it? It's secure. Don't listen to all this, these things going on around you. That's all kind of voices. But listen to Christ. He got you in. He'll bring you home. Isn't that good? Okay. And then, so I'll summarize this by saying, John saw a new heaven and a new earth filled with new people ready to live with Christ forever. That's what verse 1 and verse 2 portray. You getting this? A new heaven and a new earth filled with new people ready to live with Christ how long? Forever. That's the picture. Okay? We're going to take a look at one other little picture. This gets good. It gets so much better. Then John heard. That's what he saw. And then he said, you see how verse 3 says? He said, and I heard a loud voice. Now this is, God is working on John, isn't he? This brother is seeing things he'd never seen before. He's hearing all these. He's getting caught up in the spirit. This brother, they thought they were hurting John by sending him out on this island and isolating him. If they only knew. If they only knew. I was at a funeral a little while back, and I remember the pastor said, if the devil only knew that when he makes you sick and puts you on your back, that the only way you can look is what? Up, he never would do it. Because that's one of the mysteries, is that the devil doesn't understand what God's doing. He just does what he does. And God causes what? Even all the stuff that he does, God is the wise one. So he causes what? All things to work together. I'm using my time. So that's what he heard, right? That's what he heard. And I mean, excuse me, that's what he saw. Let's look at what he heard real quick. So then he heard that God's dwelling is with his people. So let's take a quick look at verse 3 and we'll try to wrap this up. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. So in the Old Testament, you all know that God's presence was revealed. You remember this old terminology called Shekinah, Shekinah glory, with fire in the cloud. You all remember that? In Exodus 3, you all remember Moses had been out there in the desert for as a shepherd for 40 years, and then God finally decided to call him. You remember that? He's walking by this bush, and what did he see? This bush was on fire, and what happened? But it didn't burn up, all right? And so he went over to examine it and found that the Lord was there. And the Lord said what? Take off your shoes. Moses, you what? You standing on holy ground. And so God revealed himself in Exodus 33. You remember Moses wanted to say, God, show me your glory. You remember that? God said, you can't see it, Moses. I'll put you in the cleft of a rock and you'll see it as it passed by, right? And so God's glory was revealed in all of these wonderful ways. And when the temple, when the tent was built, the tabernacle, the temporary temple, you remember that? When they got done, it said the cloud came over that temple and it filled with God's glory, and they couldn't minister. They had to leave, right? And Solomon built a temple in 1 Kings, and the same thing happened when he got done. The glory of God filled the temple and they had to leave. It's too awesome. It's too wonderful. But see, that's how God revealed himself in the Old Testament. But then in the New Testament, think of this. In the beginning, what? Was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word, what? Became flesh and what? Dwelt among us. Didn't he? It was temporary. But Jesus came to what? Dwell among us. That's what was the name? His name was what? Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, he had to leave, but you see the picture here, right? But then he said, I won't leave you what? Comfortless. I'm going to what? Send you a comforter. And he'll what? Be in you. He's going to be in every one of you. But as good as that is, it gets better. That's good enough, but it gets better. Really? 1 Corinthians 6. Don't you know that your body, what?
Temple.
Right, right. And you ought to be filled occasionally.
Yeah, come on, brother.
Yeah. He ought to fill you occasionally. I mean, you don't control God, but if you're his temple, it ought to be sometimes that he fills the temple, right?
Glory.
Y'all getting this?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. But this is the point here. All of that was wonderful, but the future, I don't even know what word I could use. Magnanimous just seems to be such a trite word. The future is wonderful. The future is absolutely wonderful. In the new heaven and the new earth, God will finally dwell with his people personally and eternally. Never, never, never again to depart. This is so absolutely staggering that, I mean, you know, in our sinful lives right now, you know, there's those times that you don't ever have those times you just feel like you're so far from God that you know something you did or you said, you know you grieved him. You ever had that where you know you've grieved the Spirit and you just the prayers don't seem effective. You ever had those dry times? Well, that'll be all over. When we get to the new heaven and the new earth, we're gonna dwell with him eternally and personally what? Forever. Forever. That was that promise started all the way back in Leviticus. God said, those are my people. I will dwell with them. I'll be their God. They'll be my people. Ezekiel 37:27. Same promise. That promise is brought into the New Testament. In 2 Corinthians 6:16, where God again talks to us about being the temple of God. He's going to dwell with us. And then you remember 1 Corinthians 13, after talking about the realities of the resurrection, he says that we now, presently, we see through what? A mirror dimly, but then what? Face to face. What?
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
Yes, sir.
We look through life as a mirror. And if you ever seen one of these old the mirrors, it wasn't these good mirrors like you and I have. You haven't seen any of these old mirrors that came from the previous generation? The wavery is really awkward looking when you try to see your image in there. And so that's his point. Looking through life now is like looking at your image in one of those really weird mirrors. But then you're going to see crystal clear. Isn't this good? And then he says, and then you will know as you are fully known. What? You get to know God like that? You don't need Bibles and teachers and to have our minds finally free. I'm not sitting here concerned about sleet and snow and medicine and eating and God is consuming me now. My mind has finally been set free. This is going to be so wonderful. You waiting for that? Oh, yes. Yeah. God's going to dwell with his people. Well, I think I'm going to stop there, all right? It's better. I really wanted to get to this other thing, but we'll get to that next week, okay? It gets so good. It is so, 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 so wonderful. And so I just say right now, let's just think about these things as we conclude. God has done these great things for us, my brother, my sister. And we are exceedingly blessed to know the truth about our eternal home. Right? You'll understand that you and I don't have to sit here and take each other's opinions. God has given us his word so that we can know the truth about our future and our eternal home. Aren't we blessed?
Amen.
We're a blessed people. We're exceedingly blessed to know the Christ of our eternal future. I was lost for 28 years. And I know I'm blessed now to know the only true and living God. To actually have real personal relationship with Him. To know the Christ of our future. He is our Savior, right? He's our Lord. He's our King. He's our High Priest. The Bible calls Him what? A good shepherd, the door to the sheep. He's the bread of heaven. He's the true vine. He's the resurrection and the life. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and end, the first and the last. He's the one who has the key to death and the grave. And we know Him. Him who was in the beginning. Him who created all things. Him who was the Word in the beginning. And we know Him. He's the bridegroom. And what? We're the bride. Christ has made us holy and ready for this eternal marriage to Him and our eternal future with Him. He's made us ready to live on. And I ain't got to this yet. But we're going to talk about the new earth next week. He's made us ready to live on the new earth. And the new heaven. He made us ready for that. The Bible says flesh and blood cannot inherit these things we're talking about. We're going to have what? New bodies that have been not made with hands. These new bodies that are prepared to live on what? Forever. And Christ has what? He has done it. He's done it and He's made us ready. He's made us ready to have this eternal fellowship with God. He's made us ready to live in paradise, restored. You and I have never known paradise. And it's regardless of how many places in the Bahamas and other, you got all kind of places called paradise. There is no paradise down here. Amen. Paradise is coming. Amen. And I promise you, I can't think of these sandals. Sandals like to portray all these pristine. You can't touch Amen. The paradise that God's got coming. Amen. Right? You believe that?
Amen.
Yeah, it's going to be wonderful. He's got us ready for and prepared for paradise. We are His people, Billy, the sheep of His pasture. It is He who made us, not we ourselves. And we belong to Him what? Exclusively. Yes, we do. You believe that? Jesus has given eternal life to us. And He said, no one can snatch you out of my hand. Everything in our lives that is of any good has come from Him. It's because of Christ, right? Everything eternal, everything holy, everything pure, everything lovely, everything commendable, everything excellent or worthy of praise in our lives has come from Christ.
Amen.
That's the reason Jesus is the center of our life and joy. Jesus is the center of our life and our joy. We live for Him who died for us. And that's the reason we're going to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. As we continue to study eschatology. And if you're here today and you don't know this Jesus, fix your eyes on Him now. I've talked a lot about a wonderful future, but that's not yours if you don't know Christ. I'm not talking about knowing about Christ. You've got to know Him. You've got to have a real relationship, a right relationship with Him right now. And you can, but get beyond me and my failures to communicate. Just set your mind on Him right now. He has come to save. And if you want to be saved, He will save you right now. Right now, that mighty power from heaven will come and you will become a new creation. You can be born, what? Again. Father, we thank You. For making these truths available to us. And thank You for Him who is the way, the truth, and the life. Christ, Jesus, now we ask You to complete the work You began here this morning. Thank You for bringing us together. In Your marvelous way and will. And now we trust You to finish what You began. Encourage the hearts of those who came heavy laden and who did not see life clearly. Save those who came lost. And just complete your work, Lord. Thank you for the hope that we have anchored in you eternally. In Jesus' great name, amen.